All right, let's open our Bibles tonight, brothers and sisters, and we're getting back into the study here in Jude. And last week, we left off in the 10th verse, but we began looking into the apostate teachers. And those were the ones that were coming in, and that are coming in now to distort the Word of God, to lead people away from the truth. And we know and are confident in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I'm so grateful to God, especially as of late. It's just like it's new all the time. The faithfulness of God and how mighty the faithfulness of God is, and the keeping and the holding power. And I think what happens is you become more thankful for it. And then he shows you more of the faithfulness of God. And then you become more grateful for it. And then he shows you more of the faithfulness of God. And it just multiplies and multiplies. And that's that exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. And truly, brothers and sisters, it does increase at an increasing rate. I know we see the line upon line. Sometimes we're even looking for a line in our life. But brothers and sisters, it's there. And as by the grace of God, we continue to accept it. And that building comes about. Sometimes you don't see it, but all in all, it's there, and by the grace of God and in faith, He reveals it to us as we go. But it's wonderful as we see this. And see, even though there's these ones that are trying to lead people away, we know that God is faithful. And we know that these teachings, these ungodly teachings, they cannot change a Christian standing with God. That's His faithfulness. It won't change our standing. But when we do adhere or accept or tolerate or compromise these teachings, they sure can change our state. And brothers and sisters, I don't know about you, but I want to finish with a sun glory. God has shown that to me. I believe He's shown that to you just as well. And I want to finish with a sun glory. Not that I would be magnified, but that Christ would be magnified in me, and magnified in me in the fullest. I love Him because He first loved me, and I want Him to do His good will and His perfect will and all of it in my life. And I'm so grateful to God for what He's bringing us to. But as we go on, we're going to realize here that there is a warning, and the warning is to not let the things that we have heard and the things that we have been taught, to not let them slip, but to give more earnest heed to them, and especially to them in these times. Now, in verse 8, we read last week, and were introduced to how they do it. And the Word of God says it begins with filthy dreams. Filthy dreams. We investigated that, and we saw that it's vain imaginations. And let that always be a clear lesson to us, brothers and sisters, that when we go seeking things in our mind, things in here, as opposed to the things in the Word of God, it will always lead us down, and lead us down and down and down, and the filth will gain, I'm telling you. The natural mind, as we're going to read, and as it has already told us in verse 8, but the Lord will continue to compile the thoughts on it as we go, but the natural mind will only defile, and the natural mind will always despise the things of God, and that will always lead into rejecting the things and the teachings of the Bible. And then in verse 9, it tells us clearly where all of this stuff comes from. It comes from one place, the author of evil and confusion, and the author of rebellion against the Lord, and that is Satan. But praise be to God, we don't need to fret, we don't need to give up. Because even Michael the archangel, he taught us and he showed us there back in, was that verse 9, he said, let the Lord rebuke you. See, give it to God. Let Him do it. Understand, it's nothing of you. It's all of God. And let Him do it. And let me tell you something. Devil, your payday is someday. And it's coming. And I say hallelujah to the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Every knee is going to bow. And every tongue is going to confess. I know it's not looking good right now, if you look at the world in that respect. But that's exactly what the Word of God said that man would do. That He is Lord is coming. Praise be to God. All right, verse 11, let's pick it up. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward. and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. Now, this verse is going to give us three wonderful types or examples of a disobedient spirit. And as we begin to study these three guys, I really want us to think again who we're talking about here. These three examples. Cain, obviously, the son of Adam. Balaam was a prophet. And the third one, Korah, was a Levite, one of the priestly tribe. And where I'm going with this, you talk about godly testimony and witness that were around these three men's lives, you couldn't get any more. We're talking Adam, who walked with God in the garden, who knew God, who saw God, who knew that voice. And here was his son, so quickly to depart from the things of God. And Balaam there to see all of the handiwork of God, that even heard the voice of God. God spoke to that man. And then finally we have Korah, who was there with Moses, who saw these miracles, who saw God's faithfulness time and time again. And yet these three brothers and sisters are ones that the Lord is going to use right now to give us the example of the disobedient spirit and the apostasy. The apostasy that's going on right now. But for the grace of God, I say, there go I. And let me tell you something, parents. Pay attention. By the grace of God, pay attention. Bring the Word of God into your home. Do not take it for granted. Don't just think because you're worshiping or praising God in a church and you never bring it to your house that somehow it's going to spread to your kids. You need to train them up. Train them up. Bring the Word of God into your home. It's vitally important. I don't know what was the detachment here, but I know one thing. We need to stand and withstand, and having done all, to stand. So we're going to see why it's very important to pay attention and to examine ourselves. I think it's important to always examine ourselves, to not get complacent. Lord, search me. If there be any wicked way in me, let's get rid of it now. You're still here. Something's going on. And like Brother Paul said, not that I have apprehended. I'm running. There's a mark that God set before me, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Praise God. So we know that we're to examine ourselves and to see if any of this is appearing really in our lives. As Brother Copley so perfectly wrote, Cain went, Balaam rushed, and Korah perished. It's the all-consuming leaven. And a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. So first, we'll examine the way of Cain. Cain's name means fabrication. It means a pretense of righteousness. And it really was a pretense of righteousness, wasn't it? He was the first example of self-righteousness seen in the Word of God. He was the example of self-effort without the shedding of blood. Self-effort, self-works, self-righteousness. Filthy rags. The Word of God tells us that is so putrid to him. And then we're well knowledgeable that was unacceptable to God. Cain was dismissed to eternal damnation from the face of God. And his denial of the blood represents all of the religions today that deny the sacrifice of the blood. Think about that. What potential, what a chance he had. Ending up maybe in the Faith Hall of Fame, but yet denied that blood. And ended up as the one that would represent all the religions of today that deny the sacrifice of the blood. What will we choose, brothers and sisters, going on? Now we know we're children of the King. We've accepted that blood. Praise be to God. But the warning here is to not let these things slip. That we wouldn't tolerate or even play around with these things. That not that we would be closet Christians, only rejoicing in the Word of God when we come together, but that we would have a witness, that we would have a testimony, That by the grace of God, we would be a light to this ever dark world. What do you think? Is it worth it? Praise be to God, it is. I knew about some disciples way back when that thought they were strong in the Lord. But you know what they were lacking was the power of His might. And each and every one of them that it even touched Him and held Him. When He went to that cross, He went alone. They denied Him. He was up there for their sin. Peter himself, the one who was so outspoken, Lord, I'll die for you, was the one as he was passing by and he looked into his face. I never knew him. I never knew him. Yet there was something that happened. I believe it was called Pentecost. The love of God was shed abroad in their hearts by the Holy Spirit. And not only did they get out of being a weasel and come out of being shy, they died. They died martyrs. Over half of them died on crosses. What do you think of that? I think somebody got bold in the Lord. How about you? I think that's wonderful to know that. I think it's amazing to know that. I think that's a wonderful another proof that He is the Christ. Where else are we going to go, Lord? Thou hast the word of life. Isn't it wonderful? Praise be to God. See, that's our Lord. But next, brothers and sisters, we have Balaam. He is the false prophet. Now, we've been going back quite a bit to 2 Peter chapter 2. You'll find much of this in correlation with what the Word of God says there. But in 2 Peter 2:15, it says that Balaam loved the wages of unrighteousness. Now think, a prophet. He loved the wages of unrighteousness. See, he had a feigned obedience to God. His feigned obedience to God was for monetary gain. And he turned to Baal, a god, for help. And I sincerely believe, as I was reading through this story again today, that this man thought he was fooling God. I'm not kidding you. I think this guy really thought that he could play both sides and try to get a little here and get a little there, but it wasn't going to work. It wasn't going to be that way. And in Numbers 24:1, it says, he had turned to enchantments. He had turned his ears towards false gods. He was chasing after false things. He wasn't satisfied with God's word. How many times have I heard people say, oh, if God would only speak to me. Let me tell you something. God spoke to this man. And you know what? It didn't make one bit of difference. Because he had a hardened heart. And God's speaking to us just as clearly and even more so than he ever spoke to that man. And it's right here in these words. And we had better tender ourselves to the things of God and settle down with the I am. Behold the Lamb. I am. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. It's the Word, brothers and sisters, and we have it. And we've got it in its fullness. I hope we get along with this. But because he had turned to these other enchantments, as it says there in Numbers 24:1. I believe that was the greatest evidence that he was a false prophet. And then when his intentions failed, trying to curse Israel, if you know the story, he was asked to go curse Israel 3 times. And God kept telling him, and it's not going to be that way. Listen to me. Okay, God, I'm listening to you, but I'm going to invite the enemy over to stay with me. And oh God, I'm going to listen to you, but now I'm going to go with the enemy. But I'm still listening to you, God. Don't you know I'm doing that? Come on. Doesn't that just speak to you how, oh, I'm going to read my Bible every day. I'm reading. Oh, look, I read the Word of God, and here I go right walking with the world. Come on. I know you never do that. I'm just giving you my testimony. And I read the Word of God. And yet I'm still going to stand over here in unbelief and not trust him that he is able. That he'll work all things together for my good. That he'll perfect that which concerns me. He's after all of us, brothers and sisters, isn't he? And I'm not talking all of us. I know that too. But I'm talking all of me and all of you. We heard it this last weekend. All the fullness of God. I pray we've really been attentive to what the Spirit's been doing in this place. He's been preparing us in Sunday school and in Bible study and in sermons for everything we heard this last weekend. I was about ready to just jump out of my socks hearing all those things. Praise be to God. I'm thankful we're excited for the things of the Lord. He's a perfect God and He's working something perfect in us. But I'm going to tell you something. This man, his intentions failed in trying to curse Israel, but he didn't give up on the evil. He didn't stop at all. He said, okay, I'm not going to do that, but you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to seduce Israel and let them come in and encourage them to fornicate and then also to get in contact with people that are not of God and to have them come and eat things that are sacrificed unto idols. And you'll read all that in Numbers 25. Now, God's not just saying these things. A lot of times I've seen people read about, oh, that was just for the Old Testament people. And I look there and go, what are you talking about? This is the Word of God. It's alive. It's real. It's for us today. And He's speaking to us, and we best pay attention here. And one of the things He's telling us here is anointed ministers of the gospel seek one thing. Let's hear that again. Anointed ministers of the gospel seek one thing, and that's to magnify our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, when you have these others that might be spewing things, I'll give you a litmus test. God's anointed will never manipulate the Word of God so to promote their own agenda. I had a sweet conversation with a brother today that's been in the church for some time now. And he was affiliated with the church that are very sweet people of the Lord, and I'm so thankful that they love God. But as we were talking today, it was just so overwhelming to him that he knew that there's only one thing that we magnify here. There's only one minister here. There's only one head in this church. There's nobody agendas but his, and that's Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I want to be transparent. I do. This is His church. Amen? It's His Word. Amen? Amen. He's the author and finisher of your faith. And I'm here to follow Paul as he followed Christ. And that's as simple as it is. And that's the simplicity of the gospel. Some people want to, and I know, and I thought, well, they mean it in a good way. And I said, no, they don't mean it in a good way. Well, brother, you got to be more of a headship here. You got to plan out your own agenda. This is the agenda. This is it. Nothing more and nothing less. How about it? That's right. Because I know this is what He's called us to preach. He said, preach the Word. And preach it in sincerity. Preach it in love. And He'll take care of it. And He will. May not be the way that we thought we were going to see things happen. Might not. Moses may have thought a lot of different ways were going to happen. Man, when he opens up that sea, these people are going to be worshiping like nobody's business. And 3 days later, they were murmuring for water. We're people. And this is what he keeps reminding us and reminding us and reminding us. Don't ever get confident in you. Don't ever start looking at the axe. Seek to know His way. And the only way I've ever known of Him is love. And those ways are past finding out. But I know the way is love. And I know He loves me so that He'll take care of it. And I know that He loves me so that what He'll bring me, if He gives me tomorrow, will be all about love. Just like everything He brought me today was love. And every day that I've ever drawn breath has been a day of love. That's my faithful Father. That's what He wants me to find in Him. He's forever, ever faithful. All right. So we can see here that Cain's self-way led to these error doctrines of Balaam. And now we finish up with "they all perish in Korah." And Korah is a wonderful study. You'll find this in Numbers 16. And I do encourage you to go back, study these things. You'll read these little stories, it'll make you smile. It really will. And I know even if you've read it many times, go back and read it again. You'll say, "Well, I never saw that. And I never really remembered that." And that's how the Word of God, it's always new and it's always fresh, and He'll bring it to you. So go back and read it. But Korah was from the priestly tribe of the Levites. And yet, even though being a Levite, and you would think, okay, he was instructed in the ways of God, and there was the priestly order that he had and all of those things, he was jealous towards Moses and Aaron, and he downright just resented that they had the authority. He was not satisfied with God. I want to be satisfied with God. I don't know about you, but I want to be satisfied with God. I want to settle down in what He has ordered. I want to be able to be content therewith. Whatsoever state I'm in, I want to be content. And in this discontent that this man had, it's just kind of like we had read last week in Wednesday's study. And God always reminds us in His Word. And brothers and sisters, He reminds us over and over, doesn't He? And He does. Because He knows we're weak. And He knows we're a creature that so soon forget the faithfulness of God. And you've read through this. Remember. We're going to hear it again. Remembrance. Remind. All of those words. God is calling out to us. Remember me. Remember me. This do in remembrance of me. He's always bringing us back to Him. He is the I Am, and we need to remember these things. And daily and moment by moment, we need to remember these things. And God help us to be encouraged in the Lord. That was Brother David, encourage yourself in the Lord. But He does this, and He reminds us over and over. And see, what He's reminding us here again is Korah wasn't going up against Moses. Did you know that? He wasn't fighting Moses. He was going up against God. See, if you would ever just think of that, and I'd ever think of that, when I step out of God's will and I start going up against you, I'm not going up against you. I'm going up against God. That's a battle I'm not going to win. And He's not going to let me win. And by the grace of God, I hope He would convict me very quickly. And I know He wants to, but see, he wasn't going up against God. And in Numbers chapter 16, verse 11, it says very clearly, "Ye are gathered together against the Lord." See, he had taken, I believe it was 250 with him there, that were gathered against the Lord, that were going to prove to Moses and to Aaron that they were the ones that should be leading this thing. That they needed more of an authority in the camp. But for those of you who know the story, Moses being the man of God that he was, he says, "Well, you know what? We're going to have a prayer meeting. We're going to have a prayer meeting tomorrow. And we're going to see and let God decide who is the one that is called." And you know what? They had a prayer meeting that next day. And if you know the story, the earth opened up and swallowed Korah and all his family. And it not only says that it swallowed his family. In Numbers 16:30, it says, "They go quick into the pit." It wasn't that they just went into the earth. They went into hell. Okay? Now this is very evident. It's very straightforward that hell is real. And hell is a real place. And when we deny God as man, don't get me wrong, not as a sinner that doesn't accept Christ, there's a hell awaiting. And brothers and sisters, this is the thing that, again, I want you to go back and think of. He's warning Christians here. And he's going to warn us in these next verses, don't fellowship with this stuff. Don't go seeking this or accepting this in your own goodness. It's evil. And call it what it is. And don't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Call it what it is. Amen? Amen. I think one thing also to note here is Korah means baldness. And we're speaking here of not natural baldness, brothers, but spiritual baldness. And I believe that really needs to speak to us, that we would submit to His will and to His plan. Because Korah didn't submit to His will and to His plan. And when we as Christians don't truly submit to His will and His plan, we're not the crown wearer. We're not. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. I don't want to be bald in that respect at all. I need to submit to all the will of God. And I believe that's very evident there. All right, verses 12 and 13. These are spots. Here we go. This is going to bring it down right into our homes, right into us. Here we go. These are spots in your feasts of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withered without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. I love when it says twice dead up there. There's your second death. Yeah, things that make you go, Korah was from the priestly tribe of the Levites, brothers and sisters. We saw that there. This is that complete perishing we're talking about. Now, these are the ones like him that can sneak in unawares and seemingly enjoy the feasts, to fellowship with you at your gatherings. And look what it says there. They feed without fear. Their conscience is seared with a rod of hot iron. They don't care. They willingly and knowingly defy God. They mock Him to His face. This is what these three men did. You notice I do not call them brothers. This is what they did. They openly defied and denied God. And this is where it leads. Now he's telling us this is not ones that we should fellowship with. Does this maybe remind you of the call that's going out there today? All faiths should unite. We should all just hold hands and let's go pray together. Let me tell you something, that's ungodly. First of all, there's no such things as all faiths. There's a bunch of beliefs, but there's but one faith. There's but one faith, and that's in your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is it. And praying to me means communication with God. And there is but one way. There's but one mediator between God and man, and that's the Lord Christ Jesus. That's what I consider praying. That's all I know what praying is. So if you want to pray to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, man, I'm there all day long. I'll go do that with you. But I'm not going to waste my time. And not only am I going to waste my time, that's defiling. I don't want to defile this temple. I don't want to stand and act like I'm acknowledging that. Now, come on. Call me a Bible beater, I guess, if you will. But I'm not out there casting pearl among swine. I hope you know that. But we have been called. And we've been called to stand. And brothers and sisters, I have been there. And I have been there and done this under the calling of being in the bride of Christ. And yet I was fearful. Yet I was, and I can't claim ignorance because I wasn't ignorant. But to think, well, it's better to do this and just get along and get through it. But yet there was a conviction going on in my heart that I denied. And there needed to be the stand. That I'm not going to have any part of this. I'm not going to be in this communion. There's no fellowship here. You're fellowshipping with something, but it sure isn't my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, praise be to God. It's all about us, isn't it, brothers and sisters? When the Word of God is taken out of it, may we have the guts, and I'm talking about the faith and love, to step away from it. Amen. See, the word spot here, in that 12th verse, it means a reef or sunken rocks. See, we may think that we're being kind or we're being Christian-like, entertaining people in our lives like this. But beware. Beware. Because they'll lead you a shipwreck. I remember my dad saying this many times to me. He said, you know what, son, you can try to justify it or tell me all the good you're doing, but you will always settle to the lowest of what company you keep with. Did you hear that? You will always settle to the lowest of the company that you keep with. And you will. I'm talking about fellowship. I'm not talking about there's somebody that's in need and God is calling you as that good Samaritan and you restore and encourage and lift up. I'm talking about ones that have chosen to defile, and you know who they are, that are not going to make the move, but you may feel comfortable still there being with them. You may be feeling right just at home with them, and God is telling you to separate. God's love is telling you that there is a division there. God is telling you that it's defiling you. It's time to move. It's time to get out. See, God is dealing with us, brothers and sisters, at the highest level. And this isn't about self-righteousness whatsoever. This is about love. This is all about love. And I know sometimes you say, oh, but they look so good. How about ones like that? Well, their intentions are so good. I mean, they go down every weekend and serve food to the hungry. Oh, but they go down to the hospital and they care for the kids. Now, let me tell you something. I appreciate anybody that does stuff like that. I do. Great. But if you don't have the love of Christ, you have nothing. And not only is that nothing, but if you were thinking that that merited you anything before God, you just went beyond nothing. You did. See, you better get that out of the way that you're thinking about these things if you are still in your mind and start getting the mind of Christ. They're filthy rags. Brother Paul said, it's dung. I was giving my kids an example of what he was talking about there, but it might be too graphic for you. But if I was holding that up to you and saying, wow, look at how nice this is, you'd say, well, what is wrong with him? That's what he's saying. God's got a great sense of humor. And in that sense of humor, he's deadly serious. God help us. God help us to ever insult his son like that. And I mean it. God help us. God help us get rid of that dirty self-righteousness. God help us that we would judge one another in that. God help us that I would ever look down upon my brother and say, oh, I can't believe that you'd do that. As opposed to looking at that brother that's caught in a fault and said, let me get the blanket and cover him. Ye that are spiritual, restore such a one. The bride loves like he does. Every single bit. Every single bit. She forgives like he does. She loves like he does. Complete in all ways. Isn't that wonderful? And we're capable of that in Christ Jesus. But they look so good. They look so sincere. But yet there are clouds without water. Trees without fruit. Useless to God. Even stars. Oh my. Satan's a big false light. How about that, huh? Yeah, we know these things. And notice here that they're not fixed, but they're wandering stars, and eternal darkness awaits them. But a further thought on this feast, and I'd like you to make note of this. It means wedding feast, and I believe God has taken us there with this. That feast means wedding feast. And brothers and sisters, I believe this leaves no doubt that we are espoused to one husband. Amen? Amen. We are a chaste virgin without spot or wrinkle. And I pray, by the grace of God, there's a conviction of this love that's melting us. It's first love time. It's first love. For us to win him as our husband, it must be first love. All right, verse 14 goes on to say, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these sayings, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. Now, what that is basically telling us is that we are without excuse. We've been told from the very beginning of time. He set this in motion from word one. Be ready. These are the things that are going to happen. They're not going to take you by surprise. We're not ignorant of the devil's devices. And here it says the number seven, spiritual perfection. And I love that. Spiritual perfection was in this brother Enoch. And why? Because he had the mind of Christ. He walked with God. This is how we walk with God. He walked with the truth. He held the truth. He spoke with God. This is the same thing that we do with this word. He speaks to us and we converse back to him. Enoch. Praise God, the first raptured saints. The full overcomers. Isn't that wonderful? The one that is taken out from among the body. Brothers and sisters, the icon of God in Christ Jesus is all over the Word of God. And we're just barely scratching the surface. And he's calling out to us even in this, that I've read over 4,000 times, and my, oh my, could it be that that's what it means in there? Well, sure it does. He's calling out to us. And it's short. And these things are being revealed to us. Praise God. There's no new truth here, but I praise the Lord and say, Lord, make it mightier in our lives. We're here for something. And that's to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that grace and knowledge is nothing but the mighty love of God. Help us not to be complacent. But brothers and sisters, we praise him. Because what it's saying here is that his bridal saints will one day rid of it all with him. Isn't that wonderful? You suffer with him, you'll reign with him. There is a body that will rule and reign with Jesus Christ. And this is that wonderful body that will be like him. I'm pretty psyched about that. I hope you are too. All right, verse 15 and 16. Let's go on. To execute judgment upon all, and to give and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Boy, there's some emphasis there with ungodly and all, isn't there now? These are murmurers, complainers. See, this is what they portray. This is what's within them. They are murmurers and complainers, walking after their own lusts. And their mouth speaks great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. I mean, how could he be talking about me right now? How did he know this that many years ago? Isn't it wonderful? You see why we don't have to be caught up in the woe, and we can really be caught up that we're going to go? Isn't that wonderful? And praise God, it could even be tonight. I hope we know that. It could be in a moment. But we notice again here it's ungodly and it's to all. I want you to turn to Revelation 20, verse 12. It says it like this. Revelation chapter 20. Start reading from verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. We're speaking of the second dead here. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. Remember all the self we read about of those three tonight, didn't we? The self-righteousness of Cain, the self-will of Balaam, and the complete selfishness of Korah. Oh my goodness. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now jump over to the 7th verse of the 21st chapter. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. I just think how wonderfully personal that is. He'll be my son. Praise God. But the fearful, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So right there I read, I can't do it. How about you? See, God already told us that all men are liars. So I got to be transformed out of a man, don't I? Hallelujah. The new man must be. So I'm so grateful to God. He said it so clearly, so evidently. There is no way, Jesse, that you can do this. There's no way that you could ever be accepted. And I know it. I read there and I don't want to tell you how many I broke of those, but I don't want to scare you. Okay. But we know that it's got to be the blood. See, sinless before God is the only way that we're ever going to be accepted. And the only way sinless happens is by the blood. Amen? Amen. And we see there in verse 16, brothers and sisters, though, even though that we've been cleansed from all this, as Christians, we know that we've been cleansed from all this. Justified, just as if I've never sinned. But the Lord is still talking about testimony here. And I think there's a lot of conviction about what we can carry around. And see this verse 16, this is not the testimony of a crown wearer. The testimony is not murmuring and complaining and walking after our own lusts. Now, Christians can do that. We know that. I know that. I've personally been there. God helps me in His faithfulness fight this. God help us not to go whoring after this. This is not the evidence of testimony in the full overcomer in Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, let this speak to our hearts here, that instead of murmuring and complaining, how about being thankful and being a rejoicing people? Huh? And this is the time that faithfulness can shine through like never before. How many people in this world right now are murmuring and complaining? Come on now. And I'm not talking about just our new government. It's been our old government too that has been encouraging us to murmur and complain. We spend too much. No, we've spent too little. We've taxed too much. Nope, we've taxed too little. Murmur and complain. Speak out. Didn't you know that you have to be heard? See, that's the problem of man. When we should be still and know that He is God and only He should be heard. You can see why it's whittling down, don't you? Yeah, it's whittling down. I pray for you. I want you to know that. And I hope you pray for me. But this isn't the message that we're hearing from this world. I'm not trying to go against it by the grace of God. I'm just trying to, just letting God work in me. This is His will. This is His word, and it's never changed. But you know, man has never changed either. And that same orneriness was back then, just as it is now. It's just magnifying wickedness right now. I hope you know that. There's more forms of godliness that has ever been there. There's more self-righteousness flying around. And this is why we know he's about ready to appear. But we need to be a people that are obedient to the Word of God. We do. We need to seek His will, brothers and sisters, and not our own. I pray truly, constantly, that our goal in this meeting would be to magnify Him and to magnify Him alone. And He encourages me because, you know, son, if you'll decrease every moment, do you realize that you're becoming more in the very image of me? Isn't that wonderful to know? Oh, get rid of me and let Him come on the scene. What a moment that will be. Praise the Lord. I'd like to go ahead and just finish up 17 through 19 real quick now, if you'll stay with me. But beloved, see, I had to get to that point. I was getting a little low there. See, He knows when we need a beloved. Much loved. Amen? Amen. Remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. How that they told you. There should be mockers in the last time. And how many times has God told this in His Word to us? And thank the Lord that He compiled all these letters and all these chapters and all of these books because He knew we needed it. We didn't just get one letter. Oh my goodness, we got a bunch of them. We got the whole enchilada, as it said. Praise the Lord. But how they told you there should be mockers in the last time. You should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. Praise God, but beloved. See, that's the call that gives me hope. But beloved. See, I know that I'm much loved. I know I'm favored. I know I'm accepted. I know that I'm the apple of His eye. How do I know? He told me. And how do I really know? I believe Him. Praise the Lord. And I am my beloved's, and His desire is toward me. That's becoming more real and real all the time. But remember the words, it says here. And as we said earlier, remember. And why remember? Because we're the creature of what can you do for me today? Huh? Come on. Now I want to see what the Lord is going to do for me today. But He already told me what that's going to be. It's going to be exceeding abundantly above all I ask or think. What I really need to ask Him is, Lord, help me to believe You. Open my heart even more to believe You for the things that are coming, the things that I'm in. I was praising the Lord. I was thinking of one of the brothers. I was kind of kidding with him about the children in the furnace. I said, there was the three and then plus the one. And I think I saw you in there and you were rejoicing with him, giving everybody high fives. Come on. You know what I'm saying? We're all in a furnace in some way or another. We know it. God continues to do that. And He's continuing that gold more precious than the gold that's tried in the fire. And that's what we are to Him. But remember the words. And I think how precious and simple this is. Just remember the word. Remember the words. Not the acts, not the deeds, but the words of life. And brothers and sisters, notice here that it comes from one source and one source only, Jesus Christ. Look at that. What did it say? Spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there's no add-ons to that. There's none. No Confucius. No Muhammad. No Gandhi. Huh? Come on. No Dr. Phil, sorry. No Oprah. Oh no. The mockers, brothers and sisters, are here in full force. And they're mocking. And we're living even in a day when God's own precious children are mocking Him. Know it. It's sad. But we even have children in the natural that mock parents, don't we? Oh, yes, we do. Had a wonderful testimony of a dear brother. But see, God's on the throne. And we're in an age of great grace. And if He be for us, who could be against us? And I know the prayer of the righteous availeth much. And you start delving into that, you can't even imagine how much that is. I mean, your petitions are before and in the ear of God the Father. Go home and rest on that one tonight. But the mockers are here in full force. The ungodly are marching with boots on, tramping, at least they're trying, all over the Word of God. Yeah, they are. It's exciting. Yes. See, this isn't time to fret. It's time to be encouraged that they are stepping in exact tune with God's Word. People look at me and say, what are you talking about? They can't help do but what God said that they would do. They're doing exactly what He said they would do. This is the perfect, divine Word of God. He doesn't lie. There's not one imperfection. And His prophecy will all unfold and is unfolding right now. They have separated themselves with the enemy, just like it says. They have willingly accepted the spirit of obedience, and their time is just about up. And we're going to close tonight with Revelation 19, verse 11. He encouraged me to give you something to sing about as you went home. That's Revelation 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. This is a beautiful sight to me. I don't know about you. This is beautiful. His eyes were as a flame of fire. And on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treads the winepress of fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for your gentleness, Lord, your grace. Thank you for, Lord, taking time to sup with us. I know there's nothing more you want to do. God, help us to come boldly to that table to dine with you, the much the more as we see that day approaching. Thank you for these precious hearts that have taken the increase this evening. Lord, just increase it in our lives. We know that you're the God of increase, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.